thank you all for coming, and I'd like to thank Paul particularly for inviting us here to read with you. So a lot of my work is, I'm from a farming background, and a lot of poems are to do with that. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start with one dedicated to my father. He lived in the most beautiful place in Clonakilty called Sands Cove. And, you know, I often wondered, it was so beautiful, and yet his life was so hard. You know, all his family went to America, and he farmed there. But you always wondered, when someone has that sort of hardship, do they see beauty? But I really think they do. But this, anyway, is dedicated to him. Stone Man. Did you see beauty in the small stream that glistened before it sank in the shale? Or the red shank joss on the grassy bank? You nailed the slates back when the gales had spent their force. From your heart, smoke curled under a peat-brown ceiling. Stones slowly surfaced in fields where the pink thrift shivered. Your plow ran anvil across the bay. The next one is Keeper of the Bees, and I found a lovely photograph of my father and brother removing honey from the beehives, and they wore no protection on their heads or on their hands, and it's a beautiful little photograph. But the poem is about inheritance, farm inheritance. So, anyway, it's called Keeper of the Bees. Father captured wild bees, teeming brown beards that hung from tree branches, carried them back to hives hidden in the orchard's rough grass, where the tree dangled shiny red apples, sour on the tongue. The bees foraged and hummed in fields clotted with clover. Discordant, when father leaned over their hives, my brother beside him, lifting square bullions up to the sun, head haloed with bees, the chosen one. And the next one is sewing. It's really just you know, when anybody wants new clothing, you know, I just remember my father had, you know, they had to get measured, and there were these beautiful bales of tweed put out. But it's really about other things anyway. See what you think. Sewing has two meanings in it. Sewing. They travel to the city to order his winter suit. The tailor unfurls bales of pinstripe, fleck, houndstooth. With a work-reddened hand, she touches the stripe, remembers its lines on a young man's body. He settles on the fleck. It looks like seed he'll set in fresh-turned drills. And in spring, green pinstripes. And this is loosely based on a friend of my father's who used to come. He was another farmer, and he used to come in his Wellington boots, and it's not very strange. But he, because my father was a Victorian man, and we really didn't get to know him very well, but through this man, listening to him speak about politics and religion and things like that, it was a kind of, it was a way of hearing, you know, just knowing my father a bit better. But I've also made a brought in a fairy tale to this. It's called Leaven. He came visiting when the harvest was done, more frequent in winter, his empty house rattling its sashes and doors. He limped but wanted no pity. The gleam in his sparrow bright eyes promised a long night. Our parents' first names on his lips sounded like wild flowers, Timothy, Julia, hinting at life before us. His tweed coat, like a wheaten loaf rising, smelled of the rodent as he steamed at our fire. The stories he'd spin, Rumpelstiltskin turning them golden, then he'd fold himself into his Ford and drive home. That winter, he never came calling. The fire crackled and hissed, built magical cities that crumbled to cinders. We heard how he'd fallen through worm-rotten floorboards and lay there long nights. And the next poem is called Uncle, loosely based on an uncle who used to call him. He was also a farmer, but he was a perfectionist farmer, which is a very, it's very unusual, and he was a very, very difficult man. He was constantly complaining about our farm. It was never good enough. Uncle. He came calling with wasp-cold windfalls, leaving mother's apple strudel, percolated like bitter coffee. The day's gossip became his gospel truths. Angelic in church, Adam's apple ascending in praise of stone saints. At home, his wife crunched yesterday's scones, brewed tea leaf prophecies. Like Sisyphean children, we were sent to clear rocks from his fields. Watched him build stone enclosures where grass grew emerald. His grain never lodged, machinery blades never shattered, while our wheat was planted too late. Potatoes had eyes like the head of Medusa. And the next one is, a few of these are, you know, the kind of brutality in farm life that you see as well. You know, you're not, anyway, it's to do with that. The hare's corner, it's actually, it's an old ancient custom, you know, that they keep a part of a stand of wheat. Because the hare doesn't have a burrow, and it was supposed to be, you know, to let the hare run free, just a gesture, kind of, I suppose, pagan, but call the hare's corner. Go squared in a field. The harvester turns to face the glare. Tines caress, then grasp the trembling ears. Blades level the feet, cutting to the blonde heart, where corncrakes streak the final strip of grain. Leverets freeze, then rise like red rags on the blade. Blades, young of pheasant, ghost-wing the evening breeze. The nape bristles, crew-cut hard. On the field's dry rim, where scarlet poppies seed, a stand of wheat remains, token one for the witches familiar. The huge red harvest moon swells with the blood of the sun. And the next one is an aunt poem. So, Aunt Lizzie. Clad in her front and back panel polka dot pinafore, she hunts the sun's rays for dust motes, polishes the bell jar that holds the snarling stoat, wipes the iridescence on the peacock's feathers, a thousand eyes watching from a cut glass vase. She skims the picture of a navy ship her husband sailed on. He returned from heathen England to his sickbed, resistant to her pleas to seek forgiveness for his sins. Priest's palaver, he called it, and died. She has a coffin freezer in the pantry, crammed with frost-rimed legs, a head round in a box from the pig she pickled in saltpeter. Broilers plucked and ready for the pot, and the young gander that pecked her ankle, just the ones. And, am I doing it for time?
You're okay, you're yeah. Okay, you're okay.
Yeah, comb over it. This, I'm sure you all, I don't, it's self-explanatory. It grows thickest behind his ears, like wheat spurting under the charred feet of a pylon in a foxed bathroom mirror. He fashions himself young again, hair darkened by a slick of brilliantine, arranged in a helmet to defy the cute westerlies that swirl like cattle circling a mart pin. The merciless north wind lifts the umbilical hair ribbon, exposing his dome, newborn. I'll go on to beasts. Beasts is again the kind of brutality of, you know, that you see living in the farm. And of course, you eat the product, so. But anyway, this is called Beasts. You remember the smell of breath on straw, tiny bodies nuzzling an udder that wobbled like pink blancmange. Cherub faced, sated on colostrums, they dozed under a red lamp, their cubicle womb like. Now you hear squeals from the pitch-dark piggery as they nibble each other's tails to stubs. One hangs halved in the millhouse, severed from snout to haunch, short hairs dusted in meal. Blood darkens in a thick tin bucket. Saltpeter glistens in a timber tub. And the next one is about Lumumba. It says in the poem, he was a Congolese leader that he was murdered. I think he was a peaceful Congolese leader. But it was such a beautiful name, I called my dog Lumumba. He was a black and white sheepdog called after the murdered Congolese leader whose name rumbled from our wireless. I bury my nose between his dry pads. Smells of the earth lay buried there. He jumped through wheat fields, lodging grain, rising pheasants. Mice and voles ran before his charge. He was a lion in his Serengeti. When he went missing, I lit candles, recited golden Hail Marys. Father said he might have strayed. Others told of tinkers camping at the crossroads. I pictured him tied to a caravan wheel, straining to return to me. As I set out to accost them, Mother laid a gentle hand upon my shoulder. Lumumba, she said, was a ringleader. He killed defenseless sheep. Think of the lambs. The next one is the Listowel one. I've never read it in public, so I'm going to read it tonight. Our time. Outside the school window, silken dandelion seed grows, offering our floating thoughts skywards. We sweated inside moss-stitched jumpers, watched chalk dust dance in the high window sunlight. Encrusted in jam jars, little gardens dribbled with tropical rain. Peas sprouted on damp paper. Crackled maps hung with blue-veined continents. Our hands held inked estuaries, deltas, floodplains. Across the pink mountains of our thumbs, red cane wells ran. Held cradled in our laps, palms stiffened and throbbed with pain. Our eyes slid sideways along dried floorboards to where the cane sat, pointing like a gun. The clock ticked, inched towards three. A dandelion head quivering with our time. We held our breaths.
Two more.
Promise. This is about a garden myself and my sister made under Scots pine, and as you know, the needles, nothing grows there, so it became very biblical as I wrote it. Promise. Allotted a narrow strip under rough bark pines, we guarded in splintered sunlight. Privet sparrows spied as we drew finger drills in bone-dry soil. Seeds scattered from bright packets promised. Cup and saucer Canterbury bells. Snapdragon's free lips. Butterfly-winged larkspur. But the earth repelled all water, running like dust-skinned snakes. Privet thickened with the flint chat of sparrow. The canopy darkened as crows crash-landed, jostling for territory. Flicking slow-falling feathers that speared black knives into our barren earth. We grew covetous, bordered with blue of magpie, the speckle of thrush, heaped white stones to mark our territory. They gleamed like bones in a lost Eden. And the last one. I'll do the curse. Coin curse. It was at a workshop. Someone said that the old Irish tradition of curses. Anyway, this is one. May the gulls of ghost estates, the gable howling banshees, poltergeists haunt your mansion. May your nose grow not like Pinocchio, but the flaccid snot gathering snout of an elephant seal. May love turn foul as morning breath. Your wife find redemption in a strapping nutman. May bailiff splits your riches, leaving you a token slot machine for freak speculation. When you speak, may your tongue become a wedged coin. So let's read Claire's, one of Claire's as well. One that I can, no hard words in it. I think this might be for her father, changing fields for Phil McCutter. It is summer, and we are driving cattle through the gold dusk behind the slow swinging rumps of a girl's sandals. Behind the slow swinging rumps, a girl's sandals pools in charcoal, the ground mist of their breath, as she directs a ring-eyed collie to the next opening in the hedge, where couchant he waits while the rough rattle of hooves pass, impatience, or the wolf spurring him to nip the last, and as he breaks into an awkward trot, you shout from the front to take things easy. The road to new grass is long and dry. A lint white moon already looms high when you open the gate to this your 6 acres. Our best fields in the girl's eyes, a sea of pristine green. Now, on this pavement, where no cracks mark the dark patina of dust, it is summer, and we are driving cattle through the gold dust. Thank you, everybody.